be flexible in terms of, you know, talking to people, continue to learn everything about real estate, you know, talk to as many folks as possible, right? For me personally, I remember when I started this about 6 years ago, I was literally on the phone consistently every day after work, just on the phone.
Yeah.
Trying to network with as many folks. And there's a million and a half folks that are 100% smarter than me. I'm just trying to learn from them, right? What mistakes did they make? And for me, I wanted to make sure, hey, I don't make the same mistakes, because in real estate, right? One mistake, sure, it might be a couple $1,000s, sure, in a single family, yeah, but that's going to wipe out your entire, you know, operating income for the year.
Your network is your net worth. Come listen to some of the most successful people I know share invaluable knowledge, stories, and advice in real estate, business, and beyond. This is Weiss Advice. Whether you want to take your business or personal life to the next level, look no further. Welcome back to Weiss Advice. I am your host, Yonah Weiss. I hope you're doing good today. I'm doing pretty good. I'm here with Apoorva Shah. Thank you for joining me. What's going on?
Awesome. Thank you, Yonah. Thank you for having me on here.
Oh, it's my pleasure. This is a lot of fun, because I get to have conversations with people that I like all day long. I get to record it and share it with whoever's listening to it right now. So thank you for joining and listening into our conversation. We're little background. I'd love to introduce you to Apoorva. He is a real estate investor, but he's got something unique about him, because not a lot of people are full-time, fully employed, right? Full-time job, W-2 job, and also control over $30 million in real estate investments, which is crazy, because when you think about a real estate business, a lot of people think, well, this is a full-time job, but we're going to hear from today from Apoorva what that means and how he's able to do it. What's that experience like? How he's gotten, you know, scaled up that business and continues to do it while still working as a product manager for a very large corporation. So Apoorva, without further ado, tell me a little bit about how you first got involved in real estate.
Sure. So thank you, Yonah, definitely for having me. Yeah. So jumping right into it, real estate. I started when I was in high school. I absolutely love real estate. I learned a lot from my family. So my family basically does conversions for luxury condos. So they take office buildings, build out luxury condos that are underperforming, and start renting them out, and then sell the asset, kind of keep doing it over and over again.
Right.
So for me, I started in high school, wanted to learn that family business, learn the developer side of it, learn the office buildings, how to manage that side of it. And then I went to school in New York, and then, you know, did engineering and learned that aspect of it and said, okay, cool. You know, I learned a lot with my family. I want to start doing something on my own. Moved down to Raleigh, North Carolina. Said, okay, hey, let me try flipping some houses. You know, that's a unique way to start. Start small. For me, I was very conservative in how I wanted to invest and spend our money and things like that. So started flipping houses in Raleigh. Was absolutely amazing. You'll see there's a lot of different pieces that need to happen with that. But
right,
you know, we had a great run. Built a pretty large capital stack, and then from there, started investing in multifamily, mm-hmm, and mobile home parks,
right,
and started just diversifying their portfolio.
Awesome. So it's really interesting, because you have kind of a great background in that you grew up around real estate, right? Meaning your family was doing it and you had that experience coming firsthand from those around you. And even though it was a very kind of unique business model, not unique in the sense that, you know, not other people are doing it. There are plenty of people doing condo conversions, but it's something that is kind of unique in the overall real estate, you know, world. When you think about investing, you think about, you know, real estate investing, and people talk about single families and fix and flips and multifamily and commercial. That's kind of a great type of investment that allows you to see a lot more of like the construction and the project management of things. So I'm curious to know, did that all influence you in the type of job that you went into?
Not really, to be completely frank, right? So My dad's background, he's an electrical engineer. He started his own firm, you know, when he came to America, originally from India. And he started investing in himself. Mm. He wanted to create a business. And for him, engineering was the way to go. Yeah. And I saw that growing up, right? I saw, electrical engineering is this really cool way to, you know, learn and, you know, play with toys and things like that and build things. And for me, I really wanted to do the same thing.
Oh, cool.
So for me, one of my role models, obviously, is my father. But that being said, I saw that engineering side. And then, you know, as I transitioned, started getting into high school, and then I also saw what he was doing on the side, which was also real estate, and started doing this on a larger scale. And now, obviously, you know, I'm much older and he doesn't do any of that engineering side of it anymore. He's primarily focused in on real estate. And for me, it was kind of like, okay, well, hey, engineering is a great way to start. Learn your fundamentals, learn, you know, you'll see what goes into houses and different things like that. And you can apply a lot of that knowledge in how you invest in real estate.
Oh, very interesting. Okay. Well, I mean, I guess that translates, right? Translate, like everything you do translates into,
of course, yeah.
into how you do it. Now you work, before we get more into the real estate side of things, I'm really curious about the job that you have, the company you work for. So this is a very large, right, publicly traded company. What is it that you actually do there? I mean, you talk about playing with toys and, you know, building things and stuff, but, you know, what do you do as an engineer?
Sure. So I am a product manager for our modular solutions group. So in English, basically what that means is I help build substations for utilities. So take a mobile home park, right? Mm-hmm. It's all these like little modular boxes all along the parks, right? All along a piece of land. Substations are very similar, right? So what we're doing is taking transformers, voltage regulators, all kinds of different electrical gear, putting them on these large skids and inputting them into and connecting them into their like utility infrastructure. So that's my day-to-day is, hey, let's work and build that out for different customers.
Gotcha. Okay. And so you're working with, teams to do that.
Correct. Yep. Yeah. So we have a number of different folks we work with. We have application engineers and most of the folks that we have on our team are all very engineering focused.
Well, that's good. Okay. Does anyone else, I'm just curious, because it's such a big company you're working with. Does anyone else invest in real estate? I mean, they see what you're doing. Do you ever talk about that at work?
I do. Yeah. So I love real estate. So I talk to almost everyone about it. So yeah, I mean, some of our investors that are in our real estate business come from my day job. Awesome. A lot of the folks that, you know, we've just have a really good conversation and they see what we're doing. We're seeing that, you know, they're like, hey, I really want to invest in real estate. It seems like a passive way to make some money for them as they're continuing to do their thing on their day job on the W-2 side of it. And for us, we're like, well, hey, let's make money together. Let's figure out a way to do this.
Awesome. And so is the goal for you to continue, you know, this kind of, this lifestyle or this process, you know, full time, you got these great investors, partners, you know, people in your business, you have your partner who's also working with you on the multifamily and on the mobile home park deals. Is that how you plan, you know, see 5-10 years from now, or are you, you know, planning on transitioning more full time into the real estate business as things grow?
Yeah. So, you know, definitely a great question. I get asked that quite a bit. And for me, I think the biggest thing here is networking and growth. So being able to grow in a organic fashion with real estate, you know, we're going to continue down this path. You know, I think 2020 was a great year. 2021, I'm sure, you know, we're going to continue to grow this business. And at the same time, you know, there's only so much time in a day, right? You can't sustain working 17-hour weeks or 17-hour days every single day. So I think after a while, we'll probably have to transition as we get there. You know, I do see, you know, us going into real estate as a full-time portion, you know, versus just doing it, hey, you know, this is, we have that W-2 job, but at the same time having this business.
Yeah. I mean, you have, I'm sure you have partners, you have people you work with, but as you scale, I mean, presumably it's going to be difficult to have, you know, so many more properties, so many more properties without having, unless, you know, you hire a team of other people to do that as well, right? To do those things that obviously there's not enough time in the day to do all that you need to do.
And that's exactly what we're learning right now, right? We're in the process of bringing on an analyst. We're in the process of bringing on operations managers to help, you know, with the day-to-day of, you know, you're going to get phone calls from tenants. You're going to get all these different, you know, items that need to line up, especially on the real estate side of it. So for me personally, I want to work on the business first, working in it and down and, you know, working through, oh, hey, like this tenant has this issue, which is very important. And we want to make sure we take care of it. But it as a manager, you know, that's probably not something that we need to be working through.
Absolutely. I love that because that's really the sign of a successful, you know, CEO, a successful real estate investor is someone that you're able to find the right people to do the things to make the deals and make the money and make everything work. Not necessarily doing everything yourself.
Exactly.
But going through those steps and getting to where you got to at this point definitely helps you to figure out, you know, what needs to get done. It doesn't necessarily need to be you to do it, but in the end of the day, you need to get it done.
Exactly.
Awesome. And your partner as well, does he have a similar background as you?
Yeah, so Jack Yen, he's a really, you know, phenomenal guy. You know, I met him a few years ago. You know, we just got together. It was just, hey, let's grab some coffee. Met down the street from where I live and said, hey, what do you like real estate and what are you doing in real estate? And he's like, yeah, I got this single family portfolio. It's doing really well, and I think it's time to grow. And we're like, well, I was in single family too, but let's do commercial, let's do multifamily, let's do mobile home parks. We're just on the same page, and it's been an incredibly fruitful relationship with him.
Awesome.
So for him, he also has a W-2 job. He's a data scientist. Definitely, you know, he's more on the cancer side of it. He's trying to cure cancer, which is very, very cool. But yeah, so that he's still continuing to work his full-time role. Mm-hmm. And then for both of us, we're trying to see what's the best way to transition. Awesome. and do that organic growth.
Awesome. Yeah. So how many, let's get into some of the numbers here. We talked about 30 million in real estate assets. How many mobile home parks, how many multifamily units, if we can put a number on them right now?
Yeah. So let's see, 200 units or so in the Southeast for basically, you know, for mobile home parks and multifamily combined.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a large presence in the Northeast with office buildings. So even though, you know, we've transitioned and started doing stuff on our own away from my dad's business, we still have capital invested and we're still helping support the growth and the development that's actually happening in the Northeast as well.
Awesome. Very good. What would you say, you know, someone who's like you, someone who is, you know, an engineer, data scientist, you know, whatever it is, and they're in a W-2 job and they're thinking to themselves, I want to get started in real estate investing as well, but I just don't see an opening. Like, what would you say would be the best advice, the best opening to just jump in?
Come talk to me. Or listen to
White's advice. Guys, contact info is in the show notes, okay? No, but seriously. Like what?
So definitely the biggest piece of advice I would say is be flexible, right? It's not easy, right? I completely understand, you know, especially someone who works a number of hours a day trying to focus in on their W-2 job, you know, it's difficult to say, come home at 5 or 6 or 7 PM and say, oh, well, I want to do real estate now. Instead of just vegetating on the couch and watching TV and eating, right? So be flexible in terms of, you know, talking to people, continue to learn everything about real estate, you know, talk to as many folks as possible, right? For me personally, I remember when I started this about 6 years ago, I was literally on the phone consistently every day after work, just on the phone, trying to network with as many folks. And there's a million and a half folks that are 100% smarter than me. I'm just trying to learn from them, right? What mistakes did they make? And for me, I wanted to make sure, hey, I don't make the same mistakes, because in real estate, right, one mistake, sure, it might be a couple $1,000 sure. in a single family, yeah. but that's going to wipe out your entire, you know, operating income for the year.
And that's probably why it's so difficult for people to scale in single families.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're seeing, right? I mean, you have to have a sizable portfolio, as well as it has to be, location has to matter a lot, mm-hmm. right? When you invest in multifamily, sure, location still matters, but you still can invest in a great multifamily asset that's maybe a little bit further out away from a metro city versus, you know, a single family house. You know, you're not going to see the same appreciation and the same cash flow as mm-hmm. you would on a multifamily asset.
100%.
And that's really why we said, okay, hey, like, I think it's time, with the way the market is and how competitive everyone is, let's transition into the multifamily sector.
And mobile homes, which, you know, is similar, right? Similar asset class. Have you looked at other types of asset classes as well? Or just, you know, obviously, so, you had the experience in office with your family, but yeah. there's a lot out there.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot out there. We were toying with a car wash at one point. completely different ball game. I mean, that's more of a business.
It's a business, sure. Well, you know, yeah. all of real estate's a business in the end of the day. But you know, you're yeah. dealing with much more business side of things on a car wash, for sure, than you know, residential.
Exactly. So for us, we saw the asset, we put eyes on it, and we drove down there. It's an interesting class. And for us, we said, okay, look, there's only so much time in a day for us specifically. Do we want to go and chase these, you know, golden balls around, or do we want to create a business, scale conservatively, and continue to grow this on this side of it? Or do we want to, like, yeah. spend all that brain power trying to learn a whole different, you know, business versus
absolutely,
you know, what we already know?
Absolutely, yeah. And you got to obviously use your brain energy, especially yeah. when you don't have a full day to be doing it. Okay, you got to focus. You know, maybe exactly. maybe in 5-10 years from now, you know, you can move into other things once you've conquered the multifamily and mobile home park space.
Exactly. Exactly.
Awesome. So I want to just, you know, transition right now. I think it's a great, great segue into the final four. And I'm really excited because, Apoorva, you are the first guest that I've had who actually knows the four questions that I'm about to ask before I asked it. And that just shows me that you are a faithful listener as well. So thank you for that. And I appreciate your 5-star review already, because it's, you know, it goes a long way. And I really do want to thank you for that, because we couldn't have this podcast, we couldn't have as much fun as we did, you know, doing this, if it weren't for, you know, all the listeners and everyone who's listening right now. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, no, and I appreciate you, right? You know, where the folks that are on your podcast, they're adding a lot of value to listeners like myself and to others. So I think it definitely goes a long way. And I want to continue that trend.
Okay, well, we'll definitely have one good episode coming up soon that you're going to listen to, and many more. We got an awesome lineup. So keep listening. Make sure you subscribe. If you haven't yet subscribed, do it right now. And let's just jump right into the final four. So the first question I ask is, what is the worst job that you ever had?
Yes. So, great question. I've had a lot of different jobs in my time. And I would say probably the worst is when I was first starting out in real estate, flipping houses. So when we were first starting out, I was doing a lot of construction. We'd be done with an 8-hour day of working through our W-2 job and then transitioning and wow. going and trying to do some construction on a house.
Wow.
So we had a rental, and this story kind of pops out to me a lot. This, I think it was like a $40,000 house. It was a rental. There, we were trying to get it ready to get a tenant in there, and we had to fix the floors, and we had to, you know, go through the crawl space and put down the vapor barrier. Wow. And so both my partner and I, we're in a hazmat suit with a big, what was it? The mask
with a filter.
Yeah. And we're just incredibly dirty. And just, it was a nasty day. There's spiders all over us. It was not fun. Now, do I regret having it? Most definitely not, because those experiences helped transition and launch us to where we are now.
Right.
I would say that was probably the dirtiest and worst job I've ever had.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely can relate to that. Done some construction work, done some of that myself, but nothing I would like to go back to at any point. Second question, what is a book you've read that's given you a paradigm shift?
Yeah, so I would say A Ride of a Lifetime by Robert Iger. So I know it has absolutely nothing to do with real estate, but it's a book that I had a number of takeaways from. So for me as an entrepreneur, for me owning my own business, you know, you're constantly doing context switching, right? So one day you're planning strategy and you're trying to figure out, okay, where are you going to take this business? Then the next moment you're like, oh snap, we have this problem with this tenant and you have to fix this, you know, septic issue or whatever it is, right? So you have to context switch from, hey, this, you know, professional and trying to understand the spreadsheets and all this fun stuff into, hey, dealing with, you know, a tenant and a concern that's coming up.
Right.
So with that book, the Robert Iger, you know, he was the CEO of Disney. He kind of showed a lot of different stories where, you know, over the last, you know, 20, 30 years, he started from the bottom and kind of, you know, grew and became the CEO of Disney, and shared a ton of stories around, you know, it's okay to, like, one of the biggest takeaways for me was take responsibility for when you screw up. You know, there mistakes happen, it's inevitable, but take responsibility and figure a way to, you know, see what you can do next and learn from it.
Absolutely.
Right. So that was probably the biggest takeaway. And then, you know, I take that to my day job. I take that to real estate investing. I tell all our employees that too. It's okay. We understand, you know, mistakes are going to happen. You know, we may calculate something wrong. We think whatever it is, it happens. Right. Let's just own up to it and let's make sure we don't have that happen again.
Absolutely. That's great. Great takeaways. I'm definitely going to add that one to the list. I haven't read that one yet. So thank you for that. And the third question, what's a skill or talent that you'd like to learn?
Yeah, so I kind of thought about this. Even before this podcast, I was like, what is a skill or talent that I want to learn? And one thing that comes to me is getting better at networking. What networking means to me is basically adding value to someone else. You know, it isn't as easy as what a lot of people say. Oh, hey, just get on the phone, talk to someone and call it a day. That's your networking, right? To me, I don't think that's actually accurate. You have to engage with someone. You have to see, you know, what their wants are, what their needs are, and how can I help support someone?
Mm-hmm.
So for me, networking is a huge thing. I want to get better. I see you're the king of networking and I want to learn from you. You know, with all the great LinkedIn posts and trying to be engaging with a lot of your followers.
Yeah, so. Sure. You know, and it takes time. It really does. There's a time commitment to do. I don't mean like longevity. I mean actual time commitment to, you know, to do that, because you know, it's difficult if you're working and you have businesses, and to make that time, find that time is really going to be challenging, but extremely necessary. And like you said, critical to the growth of yourself and, you know, those who you know, because your network, and we say at the beginning of this podcast, right? Your network is your net worth. Why do we say that? Because it's really true. Those people who you know, and those who are in your inner circle, and those who you know, your outer circle, whatever you want to call it, that is really everything. That's everything. You can accomplish anything in life if you have the right people surrounding you. So it's really true. Takes time. I would say the biggest advice I would say for someone who wants to become more actively involved in networking is social media right now is the easiest way to do it. There's, you know, you don't have to run out to go to networking events. Those are great. You know, I wish we could get back to them full time. I love going to the conferences and the networking events and stuff like that. But what I love more than anything else is, you know, social media, because you can be so involved in multiple people, multiple discussions simultaneously, and nobody knows about the others. I mean, if you're at a networking event, you got to talk to one person, and maybe you're in a group of three or four, and you can kind of, but you can't carry on. So you can carry on like 10 different conversations about 10 different things all going on, or 20 or 30, you know, obviously the more time, but there's the time commitment right? Sure.
Yeah.
That's what I love about it.
Yeah. And I mean, a great example of this is, I mean, I know on Facebook, I mean, there's all these, you know, mobile home investor groups or multifamily groups, and being a part of those for me has been great. I mean, there's a lot of newer investors, and then for me personally, I've been able to tell them, hey, look, you know, these are things that I made mistakes on early on. Look out for them.
Absolutely.
And for them, they're going to take that as value, and they're going to see, okay, hey, how can I make sure when I do, you know, whenever they do their business, that they don't make the same mistake. And then for me, it's been, hey, asking the same questions. Hey, you know, what we have this deal on the table. What, you know, anyone have advice on, you know, some aspect of it?
Sure. So much giving. It's really true. And it's a two-way street, but I get a lot of benefit from those Facebook groups as well. So definitely check that out. Fourth and final question for you, Oprah, is what does success mean to you?
So I would say financial freedom is probably the top of the list, and then time, right? So for me, you know, I think for sure the financials matter, and having that is definitely great. But then also having the time to do everything you want to do in your life, right? I don't want to get to a spot where I'm, you know, 65 or 70 years old and saying, okay, now is the time to retire.
Mm-hmm.
That's one way some people may think that's okay. That's fine. That's great. You know, good for them. But for me, I want to be able to live every day, right? I want to have the time to hang out with my wife. I want to hang out with, you know, my friends and family and, you know, go on vacation and things like that. So having that, the financial freedom and the time are definitely hand in hand for what I see as success.
100%. 100%. That's awesome. Very, very cool. Apoorva, it's been a pleasure hearing from you, getting to know you a little better and having this conversation. Where can our listeners find you or reach out to you if they choose to?
Sure. Yeah. So definitely LinkedIn is a great way to contact me, Apoorva Shaw. And then Facebook, same thing, you know, the same as my first and last name. Definitely reach out. You know, I'd love to, you know, talk to your listeners, talk to anyone, talk about real estate, talk about just getting together and networking. So
awesome.
Thank you, Yona, for having me.
Awesome. It's been a pleasure. I've enjoyed the conversation, gained a lot. I hope our listeners have too. And remember, the best advice comes only when you ask. Real quick, I have one question for you. Did you like this episode? If you did, I want to ask you a huge favor. See, the biggest thing that helps this podcast grow and that will spread this message to the whole world is that if you leave a review, a rating, and subscribe to the podcast. What that does is it basically tells the platforms that this podcast is out on is that you like my stuff and I'm doing something right. So take a few seconds out of your day, hit that subscribe button, leave a rating or review. I would be extremely grateful. Also, I want to hear from you guys. So I want to hear some feedback. If you have any questions for future episodes, please find me on LinkedIn, send me a DM, a connection request, Yona Weiss, and I'd love to hear from you.